listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Vic Carucci coming to you from Radio Row here, Super Bowl 48. Browns fans join the 100,000-plus fans in the official Cleveland Browns fan club, Browns backers worldwide. It's free to join the biggest organized fan club in all of sports and includes team shop discounts, special event invitations, and exclusive VIP experiences. To join, visit brownsbackers.org. Nathan Zagura back in Northeast Ohio, and on the line with us right now, also in Ohio, is the third member of this band. He is Gerard Cherry. Hello, Gerard.
How's it going, Vic?
It's going wonderfully here in New York, getting closer and closer to game time. The Radio Row is insane today, and the guests kind of, you know, the numbers just keep on growing and growing and growing. I want to start with what we just talked about. We had Daniel Jeremiah with us, as you know, from NFL.com and NFL Network, and he is a former scout who spent a couple of years with the Browns,
right,
among the three teams that he scouted for. He brought up an interesting kind of ranking that I think might catch a lot of people's attention. He puts at the top Johnny Manziel. That's his number one guy. And then from there, he went down. He said it was Teddy Bridgewater was second, and then his third by a long, excuse me, Blake Bortles was second, and then his third, and he thought the gap was big between Bridgewater and Bortles. Yeah, I don't want to get the order right. He just made it sound like it was Manziel, and he brought up a couple of negatives about Bridgewater, and then said that Bortles was really an unpolished kind of quarterback as well, and that worried him. Just your thoughts on how these quarterbacks, that one guy's opinion on how these quarterbacks are stacking up.
Yeah, it's interesting that he's going with Johnny as his number one overall, because most people are saying that it's either Bridgewater or Bortles, as you guys know. With Bortles, I could see why you'd make that assessment, because I had the chance to cover him while calling the games against UCF and Akron, and I walked away from him saying, yeah, he's a talent, but there's going to be some work needs to be done. And one thing that excites you about Bortles in particular is his ability to elude pressure, and he's a big body. Now you get the Bridgewater, his body language scares me in the sense that I like intensity. And I think if you're going to be the head guy for the offense and the signal caller, do you command that respect with your voice? Now, anybody can talk a big game and absolutely do nothing. I get that. It's just, I think for the pro game, he's going to have to be a guy that's in people's face to a degree. Now, that may be, he may be a silent assassin for all, as far as I know, but that's my initial assessment. Now, Manziel, I'm still not that high up on him. I know a lot of guys are and think he should be here in Cleveland, but I still question whether or not he can lead men. Can he make plays happen? Can he do things, extend plays? Yes, he can. But also, when I look at that, I walk away from saying this. Is this offensive line built for that type of a quarterback as well? So for me, like, the jury's still out. And I just find it interesting now that these guys were not in the category of Andrew Luck or RG3, but as this draft moves up, obviously they're escalating higher up these boards. But for me, I'm definitely not sold on any quarterbacks for this year's draft.
Gerard, the Super Bowl week, a huge media week. People descend on the Super Bowl city, celebrities, athletes, etc. Tons of endorsement opportunities, tons of money-making opportunities. And Johnny Manziel would obviously be at the forefront of that. Yet he will not be there. He is staying away from Super Bowl week just to train and get ready for this combine, get ready for this draft. What does that say to you about him for a guy who's been given kind of that bad off-the-field rap that he's more into the glitz and glamour than he is into the hard work?
Huge sign of maturity, and I'm going to have to reevaluate as I think about this further my thoughts on Johnny Manziel, because that's one of the things I held against him was the maturity level. But that is huge, because coming out of college, Nathan and Vic, I made that mistake of going to the Super Bowl and acting like I was in the league before I even got there, and having hung out all week as opposed to getting ready for the combine, which was the following week. Gerard Cherry ran a 4.5 when he was a 4.3 runner, and second round as opposed to first round. So for Johnny Manziel to do what he's doing, that is a huge sign of maturity, and that he's on the right path and has the right people giving him advice, and he's doing the right things.
Gerard, what do you make of this search for an offensive coordinator for the Browns, and knowing that it's still not complete? Now, there are some reports out there that it'll come down to either Kyle Shanahan or John DeFilippo, the Raiders quarterbacks coach. Those are the two names that are basically being put out there, and I think it was Tony Grossi who was reporting that should be one of the two. But as we hear it, they're interviewed DeFilippo today. I've heard just some differing thoughts about, you know, whether or not this is going to be, I'm hearing it's going to be a challenge and a difficulty to get this job filled, but just your feel for the process of getting a coordinator hired, offensive coordinator hired by the Browns.
Well, I'm excited about it, especially Shanahan being one of the guys in it. Flippio, I don't know much about him other than he's a quarterback coach for the Raiders, and when you look at Terrell Pryor going and another quarterback from Flynn was there briefly, they really didn't do much this year for the Raiders, so I don't know if that's an endorsement for him or not. But the fact that you do have two guys that may not be names, and we had names last year, and we still went 4-12, so you can't hold that against them in the case of the latter guy I just discussed. So I'm happy with that. Lowe's is not a projected process of being 3 or 4 weeks down the road here, because then you're really behind everyone else. So sign someone who works within a system, who Petten can have a working relationship with, and get a sense of chemistry and trust, and you don't build that in 2 days' time. So if you think you found the right guy, give it a shot and go, because you do not want this to last as long as the head coach search went Dick and Nathan.
No, not at all.
In your opinion, if it does come down to Shanahan and DeFilippo, and Shanahan, for whatever reason, is not the offensive coordinator of the Browns, does that scare you about where this team could be headed and kind of send up some red flags about maybe how this opening, how this job, and how this front office is perceived around the NFL?
Yeah, because that message is already out there that the front office is controlling things and you won't have much say. At the same time, when I look at what Florio had to say about Shanahan and whether or not he could coexist, say the plan is to get Johnny Manziel, and that is the case, and you already know going into it that he has to have it his way. He's not willing to give any lean or leverage towards Manziel, even though he's not in the building yet. You have to concern yourself with that, because you don't want the same thing that took place with Pittsburgh with Ben Roethlisberger and Todd Haley occurring here until it takes him a year and a half to get things right. We can't afford that, you know?
Right. All right, Gerard, thank you, and we will look forward to catching up with you again tomorrow, my friend.
Sounds good. And I have one thing to say, Vic. I'm surprised that you, just to show you, you didn't take objection to him saying that your books were the best books he's ever read about football. So I got your back, man.
Thank you. I appreciate that very much. He is Gerard Cherry, and that's right. He's got our back because he's part of this team here, and we will talk with him tomorrow. Boy, a lot of people joined this show, enjoyed visiting with Mark Mosley, former Redskins kicker and Browns kicker for that one season, one magical kick that he had for the Browns. Mike Tirico from ESPN was with us as well. Joe DeLaMalure, the Hall of Famer, we was glad to visit with him. Daniel Jeremiah from NFL.com and NFL Network, former NFL scout, was with us as well. Good stuff on this show all the way around. And an author, Nicholas Davidoff, who wrote the book Collision Low Crossers.
Read
and
it.
Again, we encourage you to read that. Yeah, it's going to tell you a lot about Mike Petten. We're going to have a huge show tomorrow. We're going to hear from Dennis Leary, one of the stars of the movie Draft Day, which is premiering. We're actually going to go to the premiere tonight here in New York.
Nice.
And I know there was one back in Cleveland. So that movie's coming out. Of course, the Browns are, it's based on the Browns. Josh Gordon and Brian Hoyer, you're going to hear from them also tomorrow on this show from Radio Row. All right, we'll be back with you again from New York. And for Nathan Zagura, I am Vic Carucci, saying you're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily,
driven by Liberty Ford.
The preceding program was a production of the Cleveland Browns and a part of the Browns Media Network.